Can you talk for me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You're right.
Okay, so just relax. I don't want you to worry. That's a good microphone, so it'll pick you up.
Yeah.
So what is your full name? Your full name?
In Croatian, it used to be Ljubomir. But yeah, they called me Ljubo. Hard to pronounce, yeah, so Ljubo. Or Ljubo.
And your last name?
Medic. M-E-D-I-C, Medic. Yeah.
What year were you born, Ljubo? And where?
June 20th, 1923. So 86 now.
You're 86. In Croatia? Whereabouts in Croatia were you born?
Oh, near, in between Split and Dubrovnik on the coast. Yeah. So one place, Zaostrog, where I was born.
How old were you? And how many brothers and sisters did you have? And your parents' name?
There was only me and my brother. Just two of us.
And your brother's name?
Peter.
I just want to say it's just terrible background noise because we've got the mic facing this way and I'm hearing everybody, really. I suppose I can't. He'd be better placed where I am, but I don't know how hard that would be.
So the car fell over there.
Yeah, it's really loud here, and I'm just worried. Inevitably, if it's not too much trouble, it's really important, the sound recording. Anyway, it may quite. See, I'm hearing his whole conversation on the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
This time it should be just about quiet.
It'll settle down in a minute, hopefully. These guys have just poured another beer there, so they'll be good. See, it's quieter on the carpet because it absorbs the sound.
Oh, I see.
Your wife's name, Ljubo, were you married?
Yes. Maria.
Maria
Medici.
Did you meet her in Croatia?
Yes.
Can you talk a bit about your romance, just when you met her?
We were living in Queensland on a sugarcane farm.
Ah, Queensland, yes.
Our parents like us to go for a holiday and go to Croatia. Then me and my brother, we both went and got married. Then I came back in 1949 and I was married.
So you migrated here in what year? 1949.
1930.
When I was 7 years old.
7 years old. Mm, yeah.
Can you remember the journey? Anything?
No, we just on a ship. It took us, I think, 4 weeks to come. And we stopped at Colombo and different places. Yeah.
Any other families you recall on that boat from Croatia?
No, we were the only ones, I guess. Me and my mother and brother, yeah.
Your mother and your brother?
Yes.
Your father was here?
Yes. He came here in 1924 when I was 1 year old. And it was six years in North Queensland cutting sugarcane, hard work. He saved money and he bought a sugarcane farm, you know. So then I came out with my mother and brother onto the sugarcane farm there. Yeah.
Do you remember what location the farm was? And how big the farm was? How many acres?
There was one farm, 40 acres, and then there were another two farms, so after it was 100 acres altogether after.
Whereabouts?
In South Johnson, near Innisfail. South Johnson, near, close to the sugar mill there. Innisfail was a town you go for important shopping and that. The banks and that in Innisfail, yeah.
Innisfail?
Innisfail, that's not far from Cairns, you know.
Very hot.
Hot. Yeah, hot and a lot of rain. And then
so
it was hard working in the summer there, but
so you worked, you must have worked very hard to get the acres of savings money and
yes.
What do you remember? Do you remember meeting your father when you at seven when you came here? Did you go on the boat? Did you stop? Where did you land?
We landed in Sydney. Then we went by train.
Up to?
Innisfail, North Queensland, South Johnson, I guess.
What are some of your memories from there? It looks hot, the heat. Do you remember running around the cane?
Yeah. You used to have to, in summertime, sometimes work and get cut to that cane. And hot, it was hard working.
You've got sugar cane hands, have you? Mm-hmm. From holding the cane?
Mm-hmm.
You can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what school did you go to up there? Do you remember much about school?
Yes. First year I went to what do you call it, the state school?
Public school.
Public school. There's a public school, and then they built the convent there. And, so after the first year, I went to the convent school right through.
So you were the nuns? Do you remember what order of nuns they were?
Yes, they were the Irish nuns, yeah. They were good teachers, the Irish nuns.
Yeah,
strictly good teachers, yeah.
Was it all one school, one room, or different classes?
Oh, different classes, yeah. They had all the classes in the convent school, yeah.
And your English, how did you learn English? How was your English?
In school, I gradually learned it.
Learned at school, and you would have had other Croatian and Italians probably at school, yeah?
Yes, some Croatian and Italians and Maltese and Spanish and different.
Any families from there come down to Sydney that you remember? There were many Croatians in the cane fields.
Yes.
Do you remember Con Contista? Up there?
I don't remember, I'm not sure.
Yeah. He's about your age.
Where is he now?
He's at Leppington.
Leppington.
Came down from Queensland.
Yes.
Anyway, so how long were you in the cane fields for?
22 years. Then I came 1952 came to Cabramatta.
And why Cabramatta?
Pardon?
Why Cabramatta? Had you been to Sydney before?
Well, just once for a holiday. Then I stayed with some relations up for near Leeway.
On the beaches there?
On the beaches, yeah. In those days I had a glass house.
Yes.
Oh, this is a tomatoes and gracias.
Didn't know Mary Perich, did you?
I know Perich, yeah.
Mary? Do you remember Mary?
Perich.
Yeah.
Is that the one, Tony's the one, the son?
Yeah, Tony's not her son, though. Anyway, they had glass houses at on the northern beaches, that's all, that's why her husband was a Perich.
Mm.
She was
a... Yes, I was doing the same Perich, but one...
Yeah, Tony.
Tony and his brother.
Yeah, Roy.
Tony, they had a big dairy, the biggest one in the state. And, they bought Orland Park, you know, now they, you know, big little house at Orland Park, you know. Big,
I photographed all of that a few years ago, before now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's good, yeah. Mm. But so you came down to Sydney for a holiday with your wife?
No.
Uh-huh.
No, before I got married.
Before you got married.
Yes, in Sydney for a few weeks. Yeah.
What did you think of Sydney? What did you see?
Oh, I guess.
Like you settled in Cabramatta. Was there anything that?
Yeah, well. They advertised a picture show cinema for sale. Then and we went down and bought the picture show and sold the farm.
So you came down to Sydney and bought the picture show at Cabramatta?
Yes.
And sold your cane farm?
Yes.
To buy it. Big risk?
No.
How much did you buy it for?
I'm not sure anymore. Sometimes you borrow from the bank, you always made money on different things, yeah.
How big was the cane farm you sold? It was your own cane farm? Did you buy your own, or was it the family?
Yes, me and my brother, we bought the farm. We worked together.
Did Peter stay, or did he come to Sydney?
We both came.
You both came. So you both bought the picture theatre?
Yes.
Together?
Yes.
Was your wife in Croatia?
Yes.
So you bought the picture theatre What was Cabramatta like?
Cabramatta.
Because it would have been farms, yes?
Mm.
Some farms there?
Yeah, farms in there. They had a bowling green near the farm there.
A bowling green?
Mm, yeah. Which, yeah. And up there, we had to walk a mile to school and back. These days I get it easy, they drive around. Mm.
So, you mean up in Cairns?
In the South Johnson Peninsula.
Yes.
We were near the sugar mill on the Johnson River.
Did you have employees up there? Did you employ casual cutters?
Yes.
Do you remember how much money you, like a bag of, like how did it work? Where did the sugar, you sold the sugar to the government or?
This work out. You take the sugar cane into the sugar mill, and they work out how much sugar they get out of the good thing. You make molasses from that and give it in.
Did you enjoy that life?
Not really. We didn't have it easy like when we came from school, like to feed the cows and horses and that. I helped my mother, like, she was, it was a work when we come to school. The other children, like they used to go and play in it, but we all had to work so to pay off the farm, right? Because like we borrowed a certain amount from the bank, and then we had some of our money. You had to pay the bank and interest in that thing.
Yeah. What's a typical day?
What do you mean?
Well, what time did you start with your day? As a young person, you'd help on the farm? Describe a typical day as an adult, even on the sugar, on the property. Go through your day, what you would do.
We should usually start early, like in the, because it gets hot after. Six or 7 o'clock.
What about entertainment? Did you work all the time? How did you relax? Were there dances or?
We didn't dance, no. My parents had the idea, like, when you're young girl dances like that, you get spoiled like it, you don't. You'd be sort of wasting your life like that, but mixed up the wrong woman like you. Crazy. Mm.
Is it noise getting noisier?
Oh, it's okay. It's all right. I've got the microphone as close to his mouth as possible, so it's going this way. You can hear it, but I can hear him. It's full on, isn't it?
Hey? Mm. I know.
Mm. It's always the way. Whenever you go to do, it's probably quiet every other day for the last month.
Well, I don't know. We could have gone upstairs.
It's really like the sound recording is so important, but it's. Doesn't matter. It's okay. Can you tell me about your brother Peter then too? How did you get on, and what sort of brother was he? Was he your older brother or?
Yeah, he was 2.5 years older.
Describe him.
He was a good brother, but after when he died, he had cancer, and we had everything together, like, but he. Bought one farm
Ringelli out that way, you say, or southwest?
Yeah, Ringelli was the first one. And the other one was, what's the name of the other place?
Badgerys Creek, Rossmore. That way you mean?
No, the big place now.
Preston's. Campbelltown.
Campbelltown, we all had like.
How much land? Can you, the Denham Court around there? How much land?
This was at Campbelltown, close to the shopping centre, and he had plans and what, and he must have been thinking differently. This Campbelltown farm. He just bought it for his two boys, and I was left there with him. He had joint money, bought the farm, but then I was upset, like, because We always worked well after my been in sickness and I didn't much of affecting somebody.
They'll be gone soon. It's just a nightmare.
Yes, I think they're going.
Sorry, we're just on that. So that hurt you?
Wrong as usual.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
About 30 years, yeah.
About 30 years ago.
Mm.
So what?
Then with that, after my two nephews, when they sold that, and they had all the money, so then in Leichhardt, they bought the shopping center in Leichhardt.
The Norton Plaza there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's two there. There's the Italian Plaza, the next one.
The Italian Forum.
Yeah, Italian Forum. And the other one, just one of them, the other. It's a big shopping center. Mm.
So, what gave you... You bought your first property in Sydney at the movie theatre.
Mm.
You bought land here as well?
Yeah, that time we had the theatre extended, renovated it much longer. And then in 1956, we built a new picture show at Chester Hill. And Jeff, the youngest boy, he was born that year. So at that time, we had three picture shows. Chester Hill and Cabramatta and Liverpool. We bought Liverpool. And then after
just with those picture shows, were they profitable? Can you talk a bit about how they ran and did you run them?
Yes.
So that was a bit like movie reels and
Yes.
Can you talk to me a bit about how you ran those, just so we understand how movie theatres ran back then?
Yeah. Oh, there used to be someone up top.
Projectionist.
When we extended them, when they go in, say, right or left, the stadium around there. Yeah.
A lot of people would go? A lot of people?
Yes, in the beginning. Then after when television came, with.
Yes.
We had to diversified now.
How did you learn to run from Kane to movies? You just knew? You just learned on the job?
Yes.
Did you study under any other theatre or any mentor?
Employer, the projectionist, and we learn together with him.
Did you make a lot of money from the movie theatres?
Yeah.
It's been so noisy, it's been unbelievable.
Oh, really?
What were we up to then?
Okay, so talking about how profitable the movie theatres were. Were they?
They were until the
TV
came.
So you had the three, you sold them? Did you sell them?
Do you want to move? I've just realised that there's a room behind there. We moved once.
Yeah, okay.
Hoping, because I thought everyone's going to go bit by bit, but
they just got louder.
They got louder.
Did they?
Yeah. All right. That's good. How are you going?
All right, yeah.
Oh, that's a lot better.
Oh, I've got her card. You don't want to keep her card? No worries, I'll take it.
All right.
Yes, then.
Okay.
This is your history, not John's.
Oh, well, you never know. I might be part of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll be mentioned at some point.
Maybe. No.
Okay, so we're talking about... So in between, did you run those three theatres? How long was it good? Like, you bought them in
how many years?
Yeah, sorry, it's going to get worse now. You've got to be quiet.
Well, we bought them in. 1942 and we're in here then.
I think 1950.
Yeah, I think you're right. We didn't come down here till 52. I was born in 51, so came down 52.
When did your wife come over? Can you talk about how that was arranged? You'd married her in Croatia, or met her in Croatia. Did you get married here?
No.
You got married there. Can you talk a bit about when you decided to bring her out and what that entailed?
No, my parents are... said I'd find it easier to marry a good woman I was sitting here. So then we both went over there and got married and come back. My brother went first and then I went in 1949. I brought the wife out. We were still in North Queensland. She and I saw that in 1952 we bought the picture show and come down here to cover me.
Can you tell me your wife's full maiden name, her full name, before she married you?
Maria. Jewish. Jewish. Yeah, Maria Davis, yeah.
And your two children, or you have two children?
Four children.
Four children, and their full names? And what?
Oh, it's John and Jeffrey and Lorraine and Gloria.
And Peter's wife?
Mandina. Mandina.
Mandina, yeah.
So from the where did you go after the picture shows, the three picture shows? You bought land?
No. After the picture shows, we had to turn them into shopping. Then we built Cabramatta Stardust.
Ah, the Stardust.
Stardust Hotel.
So
1961.
So the Cabramatta movie theatre became the Stardust Hotel?
No.
No, you built a shopping centre?
It was a bit further down. I had to borrow some land there and then build a hotel. And then after we built the the hotel at Quarry Farm, yeah.
What hotel is that? Oh, the El Toro.
El Toro, yeah.
Why did you get into hotels? What motivated you? With your business thinking. Smart.
What was this? Yeah, we had to make changes, like what we learned how to do things. Because a sugarcane farm and then picture shows and after hotels, like in there. If you still use common sense, you usually succeed in what you're doing.
And also because it's a licensed premises. Yeah. You have to buy the license and transfer it there.
The way hotels were ran back then.
Yes. Yes, actually, with the Stardust. Where was it? I think it was the license from Redfern.
Somewhere,
yeah. They had to buy the license and build the Stardust.
That's right.
It was opened in December 61.
What I can do for you is I've got some old articles which...
That's what I said. I'll link up with you later and we can do some scanning of some photos and things.
It's something that I did for the Rotary years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we'll just take your time. Hotels, you went into hotels.
Yes, the Stardust in El Toro.
Spent a lot of money at the El Toro in my time.
Softballer.
Okay, so from the El Toro, where from? What year was that? You and Peter? Who had land?
It was industrial land.
It was industrial land.
Yeah, rezoned.
Alongside, yeah.
Yes.
The El Toro, yeah.
So, tell me about how the industry ran. Can you talk much about the liquor industry then? And who you dealt with in government and local council and people that you worked with?
The council is usually all right if you're doing something constructive, you know, they usually approve, yeah.
Do you remember who the mayor was then?
There was no mayor then, came after you. Yeah.
No mayor? Yeah.
No, just. That's again.
I'm just trying to think of names, like to create a sense of time. Who was.
There was Wunsch, wasn't there?
Mm.
Wunsch? The guy from Karama, Wunsch.
What do you mean?
Okay.
There was one, Vic Winberg.
Wunsch. Frank Calabro was around in those days.
Yeah, Frank
Calabro.
Yeah, he was at the opening of the.
He was. He was a mayor, but he was also in Legislative Assembly. Remember? He was a member of Parliament.
Your friend Clever,
yeah.
I think he's in a nursing home, Fairview.
He is. He's got Alzheimer's or dementia.
So who were some of your friends? Some of who was your, like you had your brother, other Croatian friends,
mm-hmm.
other families that you would see?
Yes.
Some of those names? Did you have John Tulich or anyone like that? Did you know that?
No, it was Bosniches, Sitaras,
Bosniches. Yovanovich, Sitara, like, and Piric.
Bosniches and Piric.
In Bosnia, yeah.
And what did you do for entertainment?
Dancing girls?
Did you go to the bowling club there, the bocce club?
Yeah, there was no such thing as entertainment while you were in the farm.
No,
just work all the time. Yeah.
But you moved into hotels?
Ironically, there was entertainment in the Stardust because that's where some of the bands started playing.
Yeah.
Lonnie Lee.
So some of those, that's
Custer's
right.
Custer's Last Stand.
Like you would have brought some groups out
right,
to the
exactly.
El Toro
and
the Stardust.
Right.
Can you remember some of those, the entertainment that you
I
brought
think
out, some of the group big names?
I think Lonnie Lee was one of them, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. There was a group called Custer's Last Stand. That's a long time ago. Mm.
Yeah.
I know, but it's about...
But more recently, like... When Ross, who was there, he had bands later on like Midnight Oil and Johnny Farnham and Jimmy Barnes and
But I kind of want to try and capture your era.
That's
was
different. Yeah, that was a different lounge in those days. Yeah. Now I've got an old photos up there I can give you of the opening of Stardust.
So that was the only entertainment to go like. We used to lease a hotel and then just go see the entertainment there. That was the only entertainment we had.
It's a hard life, isn't it? It's a busy life, hotel life. It's all consuming.
He used to
very noisy. I think it affected Ross's
hearing. Yeah, you talk about later. Actually, talk about your era, which was a lot quieter, a lot better. But he used to drink in the public bar with the Jib Rockers and the tradesmen. And my uncle Peter used to drink in the saloon bar because he used to fraternise with the
racing,
the trainers and the more business
horses.
The people with the
well. So that's you were different.
Yes.
you were more attracted to the working class.
Yes.
And he was more attracted to business class.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, it's the main idea. Work in the office, like, and there are things there.
How long were you in the hotel industry yourself? Like, well, you still are probably. Where did you? Okay, did you manage the hotels?
No, did it with managers.
No, yeah. We always had managers. We had managers.
Do you remember some of their names?
Mr. Byrne and Mrs. Lee.
Yeah.
I've got a photograph up here.
Yeah.
Mr. Byrne.
Yeah, Byrne. Mrs. Lee.
Mr. Byrne.
Yeah, they were a long time in the status. At the beginning, there was another one there just for a short while.
I don't know.
It was Jim. Jim something.
I was only a kid. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's for a short while, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And it wasn't much good then.
No? Okay.
And we got on to
Melbourne. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
So, what... What can we talk about that he might remember? That he might be...
In those days? Well, in those days you had rooms upstairs. You had, like, it was a hotel motel. So hotels had to have rooms. So they had 10 rooms upstairs. And remember they used to have the rooms and people used to come from the back to go upstairs to the motel room?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a hotel motel. But, yeah, because in those days the idea was
You had to have so many rooms.
That's right. For people. Because in those days there was no such thing as motels. When we bought this place, right, which was Lansdowne Motel, the people that owned this were originally going to build a hotel, but they, or buy a hotel or build a hotel, they actually went over to New Zealand and got the idea to build a motel. Because in those days there was no such thing as motels. There was only hotels, which was where you had rooms linked to a hotel.
So then you, so the El Toro was a hotel motel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So
they had about 30 rooms. Yeah.
They had more rooms. Yeah.
When did you open the El Toro? What year did that open?
El Toro was the order that go for. Which just got in that.
Yeah, that's
year.
Right. When Gough.
Because you had his party there. You had
that's
his
right. party there, yeah.
See, I
don't
know.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But I can't remember when it was. Do you remember when it was?
It would have been 70.
In the
70s?
Yeah. I think it was in the 70s.
Yeah. 70 something, yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, it was. About
so can you talk about, can I just hear your voice? Can you talk about Gough Whitlam? Like, because they're very interested, the Whitlam Institute, about how people, what people thought of Gough Whitlam. Mm. What sort of, did you have a relationship with Gough Whitlam at all?
Oh, not really. He lived in Cabramatta there.
Now
in
the street.
We used to support him, like, you know, when it was election time, and that would give take a cask of beer there and celebrate. But after, when my brother died, like, he didn't even come to the funeral, you know. Like, off with him, he didn't appreciate what to do for him, like. Jack Manning was the other one, like, stayed. He went somewhere, you know, with him.
So you had Gough Whitlam's election party?
Yeah.
History, you get really, you got to listen to their voice so you can hear it, so because rather than talk over them, so you can hear. No, that's fine. I know what you're trying to do. I just want to hear what you've got to say, because it'll be his voice that'll be talking. What can you talk to me about the election party that night? How did that come about?
Well, we sort of knew Ms. Cavalometta and so we thought like he's a friend and do something for us. We needed something like him. But it looked as though with him it didn't make much difference what to do.
What did you think of him?
No, I don't think much of him. Like he was, he finished up after. Like he said the country broke. Like and then he was organised a Kiblani loan to get a loan with Indians to run the country. He wasn't a good leader. Yeah. He started giving away everything, like, and the people that were here and overseas, you know, they sent overseas their pension and all that, wasting money in different ways, yeah.
Did you still feel connected to Croatia as you've grown older? Have you gone back to Croatia and do you feel connected there at all?
Or? I've been back 3 times, yeah. Last time I was with John, I got third time. 99.
Went back and we saw the relatives then. That was the last time we saw the relatives. Yeah. It was the last time we travelled. Yeah, it was pretty hard at that time. Mm. You travelled with me. Mm. We went to Ireland and then we went to Croatia. And then we did a tour of the Croatian Adriatic coast. And then.
What did your wife, did she die at some, when did your wife die? What year?
1992.
Is that?
February the 29th, leap year. She was
63. 63.
Auntie was 63. She died the year before.
Mm. How did that impact you? Where did you live at that time?
Oh, I was lonely, like in him. And I started going on holidays, like in. And gradually get over it, yeah.
What was your wife like? What sort of person was she?
Oh, she was a good, hard-working woman.
Did you have a good marriage?
Yes, well, but later, like, the wife had a problem with that, but schizophrenia like that, and then after it was hard for her, at one stage, she'd take tablets, shouldn't take them, have to take her every month to the doctor and give her injections and she'd be all right, yeah.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, I had to take the doctor.
That's
it. John used to usually go with us, yeah.
Modicate used to take the injection once every 6 weeks, yeah.
Every 6 weeks, right? Mm.
That's how long it lasted. Yeah, it was pretty difficult. But the reason why she hated it was more or less because it she's a very strong and active woman person, and then she used to hate it because she was sort of like made lethargic, weak, and she hated that. But otherwise, she was all right, but she hated it because of that, and she tried to not have to take tablets or the injection because she hated being that way. But then the alternative was that if she didn't take it, she was imagining all sorts of things, imagining that somebody talking on the radio or on the TV, imagining all sorts.
When was she diagnosed? When did you find out about that? How did you know all the time, or did it emerge?
Oh, it wasn't visible until a few years after that. You know, must have gradually sort of come on. Well, she was all right before.
She was all right, I think, when there was plenty of people around. But when she was there at home by herself, and, you know, then Jeff moved out, my brother, and Lorraine moved out, my sister, and then you weren't at home a lot of the time, so she was there by herself. And that's what happened. Mm.
Well, it's a mental illness, isn't it? It's quite prominent.
Mm.
I'm just more interested in like with these historical things, getting the perspective of how it was treated back in that, you know, 20 years ago is very different to how it's treated
it
now,
is,
and getting a perspective on.
She's very lucky. She had Dr. Oksanas, who picked up very quickly. That's what she had, and at times there, he actually came to the house to inject her there at the house because she was being very difficult. So had to do that, and we had to put her in Liverpool Hospital, and then we took her out of Liverpool Hospital because there was people bedwetting in there, and she was complaining about the smell, and so we put her into Mount St. Margaret's at Top Ride there, and that was much better. That was done by a sister's charity, one of the sisters, and that was a lot better.
It was in Liverpool Hospital after that. Never had that before.
It was not very, very good.
Not good, yeah.
No.
And then I see the time when she was there, one of the women, like, she killed her.
She did.
Another one there, like, she drowned herself, like, that's a terrible thing, like that.
That is terrible, yeah.
How are you going? It's 3 o'clock. What do we?
3 o'clock. Yeah.
You want to have a cup of tea or something?
A cup of coffee.
What would you like to talk about?
Would you like a cup of coffee?
I might have another one. Yeah.
Well, flat white, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flat white.
Yeah.
Cappuccino.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thanks. Because it's important. Okay. So. Where did you live with the El Toro? What suburb did you live? Did you live at the hotel?
No. We first lived in Bridge Street there, when we came from Queensland. There was 13 of us living in one big house. My mother was there, and my brother and I, and our four children. Then after we built another two houses in Boundary Lane, where Celia is now.
What suburb was that?
Cabramatta.
So you've always lived in Cabramatta?
Yes, always.
Okay. So, what do you want to talk about? What would you like to? How was your life in Cabramatta? You drove. You had a car. You. I'm just trying to think what to ask him about how the community looked. It would have been very different.
In 1952, when we came from Queensland, we never had much money then. We just had one car and one utility. And we used to go down posting advertising for the theatres here.
So you and Peter built a house each?
Yes, one alongside the other in Boundary Lane, yeah.
So what other property did you accumulate after the El Toro? Did you...
when my brother died, we sort of they wanted to separate, and so there was no rush to separate. But that's those my two nephews that weren't fair. They didn't appreciate what I'd done. They just weren't separating. They didn't want us to work together. And they forgot how we both secured a good life for them, yeah.
So you and Peter really built the life for your children?
Yes.
So...
Yeah, because... as I said before, in Queensland, we just bought the one house, and then when we come down here, 52, then we're in this big house for about 10 years, then we built two new houses in Boundary Lane.
So your children live together?
Yes, all live together.
That would have been was that a happy time? How did that work?
It worked all right, you know. Yeah.
And when you separated, it would have been quite different again. With your own houses next door?
What was that then?
So you and Peter, did you separate as brothers?
No, it's only after he passed away then. Their nephews wanted to separate. Yeah.
Go their own way.
Go their own way, yeah.
And how did that impact you personally?
Oh, they upset me because they didn't appreciate how I and my brother jointly made a good life for them, and they didn't appreciate it.
So... your life from what year was that when your brother died?
I'm not sure which year.
I've got it, but I haven't got it.
That's okay, that's all right.
He was 58, I think.
Oh, early.
Sorry?
Oh.
What?
He was 58.
He said 58.
No, he was 57 when he died.
Yeah. He was 57.
He was 57 when he died, yeah.
And what did he have cancer?
Yeah, he did. He had bowel cancer. Oh. Later, went to big liver.
I'm being good. I'm not saying a word.
I know, it's good, what? Isn't it? God, and you get to... It's okay. So, what can I explore with your father after that, Jeff? What did he just... And then I'll explore it with him, but just...
Well, he found it hard to...
I don't know whose coffee I'm drinking. I'm sorry.
You're drinking cappuccino. That's quite white.
Okay.
that's why. I thought, that doesn't matter. You can have both. You can have the other one. So that's flat white anyway. Yeah.
I'll put half a sugar.
No, don't worry about it. I don't need it. I've had enough coffee. So anyway, you can have both.
If you wanted to talk, do you want to, like, so imagine that this is, what else would you like to talk about? In your, when you're, after your brother died, you ran the hotel at the El Toro, did you? Like, what were you involved with after?
We're still together with Ron and Roy, and he was trying to explore things to do with them in Dubai. Another business or property, but
they weren't
interested in that. Yeah. And they brought their mother into it, and she just said, look, you're better off just letting them go their own way. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to do their own family.
No.
And I convinced him that we should agree with that, because there's no good ending up like other families who have gone to court.
Agreed
on a split up.
The mother was just as bad as him. They went separate. She could have said,
just the way it was. That he was used to the old way, which was family stick together and you keep going. And she was just saying to him that, yeah, things have changed and you've got to agree to move on.
So where did you move on to? Can we explore? And I'll just try and hear his voice. Where did you move on to from there? You.
Oh, well, we were about 10 years in a big house. In Cabramatta, and then after we built two new houses, two stories, like in Boundary Lane.
Yeah. So after Peter died, what did your dad do? When you split the family business, you split the family investments or whatever.
We had to decide what to do, and we decided to look for our own investments, and Ryan and Roy looked for their own investments. They bought that. One of the things they did is they developed the El Toro estate, the industrial estate.
Yes.
But he was a bit upset about it because we started out doing that together, and then
they continued.
Yeah, but that was part.
What can I talk about with your dad now, do you think?
What can we talk about? Well, we just went on to other things. And
but like what he can talk about?
Oh.
Literally with his voice.
Well, he looked for other investments, and that's when we found this property here. We bought that property and another property.
So your dad's been in Cabramatta really all his life?
He hasn't moved away.
Yeah.
The only thing he's done is he's moved from 23 Boundary Lane to here. He lives because he didn't want to. He was my sister Lorraine was living there with him, with her husband to be. And then when they got married, they wanted to move out. They didn't want to stay there. And he was unhappy about that. So I'm trying to explore his
contribution to community, really. I mean, he had his businesses.
Mm.
But, like, I want to sort of hear about what
yeah, Lorraine didn't do the right thing, you know. Helped her to get married and that. And then after she
had her own family.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to
come to live close to me, like, always far away over there.
Right.
And she didn't appreciate anything that was done for her.
No, but that's just the way things are.
So, what is it about Cabramatta that you loved or that you enjoyed? Why did you stay in Cabramatta? It's a long time.
Yeah.
You have money.
Well,
that must be a good community. Like, what? And talk about some of the changes you saw.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, like, they move away onto the coast somewhere when they're here. But I always thought that you'd be more successful in business if you stay close and go over on the beach somewhere.
So you have a good business mind. Where did you get that from? Is it back in your family?
My mother had a good mind and my father too. They both worked hard, yeah.
His father came here by himself.
Yeah, he mentioned that at the start.
Yeah, so he had to leave his family behind, sort of come alone, sort of to make a life for them and bring them over after 6 years.
So the farming you did was sugarcane farming? No other farming here? No farming in Cabramatta?
No.
Business?
Although we bought properties, farms later on.
That's what I was trying to understand.
Yeah, in Campbelltown.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Next to St. Gregory's, Back Valley Road, Campbelltown.
So that's the near the Perriches of...
No, that's different.
Yeah, that's...
They're in a different area. Yeah,
that's
So can we talk about some of that, just to hear his voice? So you bought some land in Campbelltown. You said that earlier.
Yeah, I said, that was a... First time I was upset with my brother, because we always worked close together, and then he just bought the Campbelltown property for his two boys, with their joint money, that upset me. But
what sort of farms were they?
It was just about 100 acres.
Oh,
he hears. Cows and horses, whatever. Yeah.
Cows and horses, yeah. It was just horses for adjustment, and they used to buy and sell cattle, yeah. And just breed, not breed, but just have the.
So, what happened with that land? Do you remember what happened to the.
They sold the. That land, and then bought the shopping centre, Leichhardt, yeah.
Oh, okay. What about your investment in the land?
And that's what he's saying, that he was upset.
He
got upset because that land, the Campbelltown land, was bought by his brother, and only in the name of his two sons.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, okay.
And we had no interest in it. And what they used that land for was secured to buy property at Leichhardt, which they then later on developed and built.
Strangely enough, I actually have documented all of that development in Leichhardt without knowing.
Oh, really?
For the State Library.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that funny? I met Roy, for years I did all of that.
Oh, did you?
For photographically.
Oh, okay.
And then it's bizarre, isn't it, how it cross and you go back and you go, right, Roy.
So, yeah, he was pretty upset about it.
A bit dirty about it.
Yeah, he was.
I'm just trying to think what he can talk about. I mean, we'll probably wind it up soon because we've got bits.
Mm.
Bits.
Yeah, I think if I give you...
it's just trying to hear his voice, and
that's all right.
We've got a bit of it. We've got a bit of your voice.
Yeah, it's very hard because he's got the hearing aids as well.
Yeah, he's got those in.
Yeah, so he's really not sure how loudly he's speaking. Yeah.
Oh, it's good. It's with the microphone. It's good. You can have a little listen if you like. You can hear how clear he is when he speaks. Yeah. So. I'm probably loud and smelling. So, talk a bit more about Cabramatta. What does Cabramatta mean to you? Does it mean anything to you? Is your heart there?
I was quite happy to live in Cabramatta, but, some others are. They want to go. They want to go somewhere in those like higher class areas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then after like the Vietnamese though, a lot of Vietnamese came to Cabramatta and that spoiled it in some ways, like before it was all different nationalities, but they shouldn't have brought them all here. They should have spread them out somewhere. They more or less took over in Cabramatta, but still it didn't worry me. I got used to it, yeah.
And when did you mix with the Croatian community?
Oh, sometimes the club, but not very often, yeah. There's some Croatian clubs, yeah.
There's a Croatian club at Cabramatta, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
I just remember on the railway going past.
No,
or somewhere.
Up St John's Park.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
St John's Park near there.
Do you go there?
Used to.
Sometime, yeah, before
you. But you were just talking about how the Croatians used to visit each other's places.
Yeah, talk about.
When you share visiting and they used to come.
When you'd visit your friends, what would you do? What would you cook? Did you eat Croatian food? Did the women cook Croatian food?
Yes. In Queensland, we used to go, down here it sort of changed, not so much going to visit one another. In Queensland, it was a regular thing to, at the weekend, you see some friends and then now there's that Paul Davanese, his grandparents and all that. We used to go and visit them up there.
He is a neurologist. He goes to see at St. Vincent's for his Parkinson's. His family come from the same area in Queensland.
Where do you feel your home is? Your real home?
It's in the motel here, with John and Jeff. I like to be with people.
I don't think that's what she meant. I think she means whether you feel at home here in Australia or in Croatia. You feel more at home in Croatia or in Australia?
No,
In Croatia, I suppose they have an easier life there. We usually work hard to achieve something, Over there, they don't. They have their siesta in the afternoons and then they play cards or bowls or something. In Croatia they have a better life than here, but most of them don't achieve anything. Yeah.
Where was your favourite place here in Australia that you lived? And your favourite time?
Well, I was happy in Cabramatta. Yeah, I didn't want to go on the beach somewhere. I like to hear that.
You afford a unit of Manly. It's like visiting the unit of Manly on the weekend.
Yeah.
So you had a weekender?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I went there a few times, and then when I lost the wife, I stopped going.
They just started going there.
Then if I go over there, there's no one there. He's gone with the family.
Mm. I'm going to wind it up.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just wondering if there's anything else that we can get you to add, or I don't know. What do you feel you've given this country? What have you done? Do you understand what you've done? Like the Stardust Hotel was pretty significant historically. Infamous.
Yes.
Do you understand your contribution? Do you feel you've made a contribution?
Yes, well, there's quite a few that have done things like me and my brother, we achieved a fair bit, and then there's the Perichs and Bosniaks, like, you know, the quite a few Croatians, like, achieved a lot. But then you get the average Australian, they get jealous when you have it, but they're not prepared to use their minds or their muscles, like, you know, to do things.
What do you want to let your family know? The children that have yet to be born. What would you like to tell them?
Well, I'd like to tell them how it's important for all children to appreciate what you've done for them, men and wife. Yeah.
What's important? What's important to you in terms of as a person? Morality. What is important to you, in terms of what has dominated you in how you have lived? Your character. What do you value?
Well, I always like to be friendly. I like to, my children and everyone else like to to help me to go on, so just like Alina now, she's a hero, like, and that's one good thing in my life, you know.
What's important for you in community? What's important about communities? What values are important?
Say, like, about being respected and things like that. That's what you think you'd ask.
What is important to you? Is it? Politics, or what, you know, how you work, what's important, your values. Because you're very driven. You've done a lot. You've produced a lot. Hard work.
Yes.
As a businessman, how did you operate? Were you a nice bloke? I don't know, you know. I mean...
I suppose, would you say that you could be hard as well as soft?
Or were you a bastard?
Yeah.
Firm?
Firm and fair. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, I like to be, dumb and inferior.
Were you generous?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Kind,
yeah.
Kind, you know, kind. Qualities.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
I think.
I always.
How did the community see you? Did you have a lot of friends? In the pubs?
Golf, club, bowl.
Yeah.
What golf club were you a member of?
Cabramatta. And I played all different places. Yeah.
Were you a good golfer?
Yes.
Yes. I won some trophies. And
golf and a lot of chicken.
Yeah, and
a lot of
won some chicken.
Over the AHA, Arthur Laundy, etc.
Yeah.
Can you tell me some of the names of the golfers?
And the other. Mm-hmm. What's the other one that died there?
Arthur Laundy. Oh, Bill Wall.
Bill Wall. He was a big man. Like
that's
him.
Right.
I used to play golf with him.
With them, yeah,
Bill Wall.
Cinema Pioneers.
Every year, we go in November, Cinema Pioneers. They come from all the states there. Anyone's been 20 years in our business, though. What was the picture show then?
Yeah, and because you're a Cinema Pioneer, what do you do every week with Helena?
Go to the movie.
They go to movies every week.
And bowls? Where did you bowl?
Cabramatta. Sometimes St. John's Park. Sometimes St. John's Park, I would maybe Cabramatta, yeah.
Mm. Okay, we've got to wind this up.
Yep.
So, how do we wind it up? Tell me what you movies you like. Your favourite movies? There's been a few. A few great films. What do you like?
I was going to the wind and there's Ben-Hur and all that.
And how have movies changed?
I think they're not as good now as before.
Tell me a movie a movie you saw recently that you liked.
I forget the names of it.
Hurt Locker?
No, we didn't see that one.
No?
Last one was Rebound.
Okay. What's the other one you saw?
Bounty.
Bounty Hunter. Rebound
and
Bounty Hunter.
And Blind Side.
And Blind Side. Blind Side. That was this week, wasn't it?
We finish?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? No. Thirsty. So John has been a good son.
Yes.
Tell me about your children.
John and Jeff.
Tell me about them. Why have they been good?
Oh, well, they helped me at different times, you know. The girls are all right, but they could be better, like, you know.
He has a lot of appointments.
The younger one, like,
I'm just trying to work out more what he likes about you rather than what you do for him.
Okay.
It's funny, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm a bit upset with Lorraine, like, because she doesn't want to live close to me.
Yes.